Let's start with that drone strike, because the number bears repeating. 1,500 kilometers. To put that in context, flying from Kyiv, that's roughly the distance to Moscow. It's hitting targets deep inside Russian economic infrastructure, not just military positions near the front. The specific target was an oil refinery, and the strike occurred almost simultaneously with fires breaking out at Wildberries warehouses, Russia's largest e-commerce platform. Whether those fires are connected to Ukrainian operations or separate incidents, the timing compounds the psychological effect on the Russian population.
The economic logic here is important to understand. Ukraine has been systematically targeting Russia's refining capacity for over a year now, and the cumulative effect is measurable. Russia has had to reduce domestic fuel supplies to certain regions and has been burning through foreign exchange reserves to import refined products it would otherwise produce domestically. Every refinery hit is not just a military statement, it's a squeeze on the revenues that fund the war. The International Energy Agency estimated earlier this year that Ukrainian strikes had reduced Russian refinery output by somewhere between 8 and 12% at peak impact. This latest strike suggests that the campaign is ongoing and improving in reach.
What's technically significant is the guidance and range combination. A 1,500-kilometer drone strike requires either very sophisticated navigation to avoid Russian air defenses, or those defenses have gaps that Ukraine has learned to exploit, likely both. Russia has layered its air defense systems around major population centers and military installations, but industrial infrastructure in the deep interior was historically considered beyond reach. That assumption is now obsolete.
Which connects directly to the Raytheon and Lockheed story. And I want to spend a moment on this because it's revealing in a way that makes defense industry executives uncomfortable. The Atlantic's reporting indicates that the two largest U.S. defense contractors' primary objection to licensing Patriot missile production to Ukraine is not intellectual property theft, as they've publicly claimed, it's competition. Ukraine has developed a domestic defense manufacturing base under wartime conditions that is producing capable systems at dramatically lower costs than American contractors charge. Raytheon and Lockheed are worried Ukraine becomes a future competitor in the global arms market.
That's a story about incentive structures that cuts across the entire defense procurement debate. The United States has spent years encouraging allied nations to build up their own defense industrial capacity, and Ukraine is now arguably the most battle-tested defense manufacturing environment on the planet. If a Patriot equivalent system can be produced for significantly less, because Ukraine's labor costs are lower and their engineers have real-time feedback from active combat, that's genuinely valuable. The contractors framing competition as a national security concern is the kind of thing that needs to be named clearly.
On the Iran-Ukraine diplomatic overlap, and there is one, because Iran has been supplying Russia with Shahed drones throughout this war, Trump's pivot to economic pressure on Iran is relevant here too. National Security Advisor Waltz said this week that Iran's negotiators care primarily about frozen assets, not about ending military strikes. Trump publicly called Iran totally broke. Tehran responded by accusing Washington of a sanctions addiction. What we're watching is the administration essentially abandoning military pressure as the primary lever and betting that financial strangulation will force a deal.
The analysts questioning that strategy's coherence have a point. Sanctions have been in place against Iran in varying forms since 1979. The Islamic Republic has demonstrated a remarkable capacity to sustain itself under economic pressure. It's essentially built an economy designed to operate under sanctions. The frozen assets question is real and significant. We're talking about tens of billions of dollars. But whether releasing or permanently blocking those assets produces a change in Iranian nuclear behavior is genuinely uncertain. What's not uncertain is that U.S. weapons stockpiles have visibly dwindled, which limits military credibility in the background.
Armenia and Azerbaijan jointly nominating Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize is the diplomatic footnote that's worth noting here. It reflects the Caucasus peace process, which has moved further than most observers predicted and the joint nomination from two countries that were in active armed conflict as recently as 2023 is a real signal that something durable may be taking hold there. Whether the Nobel Committee sees it that way is a separate question entirely.